Okay, so we're doing an oral history today with Roger Ingham. We're in Skipton Town Hall and it's the 6th of September 2022. The interview is being conducted by David Jackson and Anne Medway.
Correct.
So Roger, if you'd just like to introduce yourself and maybe just spell your surname please as well.
Spell my surname, Ingham, as in Birmingham, Nottingham, Addingham, Gillingham, Billingham, we're all over the country, our lot. I-N-G-H-A-M.
And Roger, normal spelling of Roger.
Roger, R-O-G-E-R, as in Dodger, Beagle.
Tell us, Roger, where and when you were born.
I was born at Top of Short Bank Road under Rumbles Moor in Skipton. Born, bred and probably died somewhere up there at top of the Puri Ashes Street at top of Rumbles. Back bedroom, because you got extra 5 shilling, it was wartime, you got extra 5 shilling for being born at home in them days, so my father weren't going to pass up on that, so I had to be born at home. I haven't been born here for an hour, went next door neighbour come round for afterbirth to put up Rhubarb. So my father, when he come along, he were on wartime duties and not abroad, just at homeland. And when he come home, he went and doubled him, charged him for half a crown. So I was earning my keep at day one. Because it was obviously family motto to have the keep at an early age.
Is that really what happened?
I can't remember it, like, you know, because I was not just been born.
And just remind us what year you were born?
1944. We push over into Normandy then at that time. Not to do with me, but that. They were not blackout, of course, and everything that. Penny pinching, as in earning your keep, basically.
You say you were born in Skipton. Were your early days in the Skipton area then?
Oh yeah, it was a great place to grow up actually. And there were moors. There were an old refuse dip, but it was like an adventure playground. There were two reservoirs, or reses we call them. One across front and one up back, and people used to swim in it. And, unfortunately, what a tragedy, that when they were all on ice on one at front of us. That's probably my earliest recollection, actually, when they got too far out, the lad went through, and he was getting junior swimming champion at the time and all, so it was very tragic with that. Okay. Our life moves on, I got pally with his dad, who were still abroad on wartime service, and so that made a special life. Have it, if you like, pilgrimage, if you want, going out to see him when he was elderly, because he was housebound then. And that were these recollections, but all these little adventurous bits. The old Roman road just up from us, from old York to Chester Highway, and so there were plenty up that end to go at, and an old quarry where they mined all. Stone for St. Minerville, old part of Skipton, so there were plenty of little adventurous places to explore, and then far other places not too far away, like Bolton Abbey and them sort of places, tourist attractions and the Tab River and all, so it weren't unusual us to walk all that way over to Bolton Abbey. It was about 4 or 5 miles, but it was not in them days, we didn't have taxis and all that sort of thing. And then of course we two swimming pools just down the road, with short man lads and lassies, of course, were able to learn to swim a bit quicker than some from other side of town, because it were a fair all night from other side of town at that time. Only thing, when we were at opposite end of town for all sports facilities, as in football, cricket, rugby, and etc., but it we had a recreational football field on each housing estate basically. Our team were Short Bank Rovers. I see that was Short Bank Road that led up to Old Roman Road. And primary school at bottom, secondary modern school at bottom. And it's got a bit of a crusty floor, you'll have to just bide with that. And secondary modern school down at bottom, they had their school cross country up our end. It were proper cross countries in them days, not like you find now, just round and round the local park, wherever. Walls, fence, barbed wire fences, you name it, they went up under Rambles more. So that was probably the first thing that ended me to me very keen on sport for all my life, to partake in at some time at a decent level later on. In fact, athletics, as it turned out to be my main sport. The old shows and sports and fell races, etc., etc., because there were junior fell races and all, not as many as there are now, but there were plenty of them. And so that set me off with no family car, hitchhiking at first to far away places. In fact, first time I ever hitchhiked when I was still at primary school. I had my brother and a mate then come with us, and that was just a watch at that juncture, and what a big fella race. And then a fella panicked for me, only about 8 years old, panicked on the way up, then put us out halfway. We were going to Burnsville, which were 8 to 9 miles up into Yorkshire Dales, and he got halfway at Craco and dropped us out there. So they thought, oh, you better not go any further, you're never going to get home. But even that when I was my first hitchhiking experience, and since then I'm still in no family car, when I was still at school and then a teenager, hitchhiked all over north of England and Scotland to get to some of the sports, and be which time I was partaking then. And I got picked up with a guy and a lad that grew up on our estate, a good lifelong pal, Norman Beck, and he was a bit older, and he was working for a local farmer, or fairly nearby farmer at Craig, called Billy Pickering, who were a prominent fellow on the before war, and Billy was his trainer. So he picked me up when I was hitchhiking to a sports meeting once, and so I was set up for getting lifted plenty of places. But then when Billy died, we were back to sort of semi-square one, if you like. He died at a young age, and he moved into Skipton because his illness had brought him out at farming. And so I was back on my hitchhiking job, but all the colour, contour and character, some of the sports meetings used to be then, because there were bookies, a lot of them, and all making, bawling the wares out, all was entertaining. And so that was my main chapter in my life, and it went through where you see me the other day at Kilnsy Show, which is from 1950s here, we're now in 2000, whatever it is. I got when they set one at races off, I couldn't remember what year it was. When you get old, you know, you always know when you're getting old, because when you get your house burgled, they never touch your CD collection. So anyhow, besides show sports and fell races, of course, I've always been passionate about football, rugby league and cricket and all, as it used to be in old days. I mean, all this, what they have now, Big Bash and all that, I'm not into it at all. But rugby league particularly, my dad was very passionate about rugby league. In fact, me and my brother, our very existence at rugby league, because that's where my mum met my dad, when Keith got to Wembley in 1937. I mean, going to Wembley them days in London were a trip of a lifetime. Well, my mum didn't even know there were two codes of rugby. She was from a devout church going village, Gargrave, which is only 4 miles up road from Skipton. And they're all devout church goers and right royalists, obviously, because church were connected with royal family, or vice versa. And she'd scrapbooks of royal family, not just king, queen, or whatever, but somebody about 19 lined up for on the old lay souls, as we call them, Lord ourselves. We always called him lay souls, and that sort of thing. And she'd just left school, and a job had taken her into Skipton, where obviously a lot went. They all went up training them days, but down to Skipton, and she was secretary at one at Fattorini at Men's Challenge Cup, no less. And they had a factory in Skipton and Carlton, so there were special train trips, so she worked here. So some of the lasses she got Pallyway at work, went down to London to see Decker Cotter. London was centre at world media, if you like, that particular week when he were coronation of King George VI in 1937. And So they, and but it, all the decorations and all that, so it was special treat to go down and see them. So the trip of a lifetime for my mother, and it were even announced in church that Nancy were going to London, blah blah blah, and my dad had gone down to one of the specials to see Keithley at Wembley. So even for my dad, he'd been to two or three finals before. He were a plumber and managed to get work off work at Saturday morning to go on a special train to want to do at previous finals. So they were having a look down sites in the morning when my dad's group and my mother's group were having a look down sites, and it was out in Mallow somewhere where either one of my mother's group recognised one of my father's group was coming for Skipton, and that's how they hit it off. So if Keithley hadn't got there in 1937, me and my brother wouldn't have been here now, and kids and grandkids to follow. So that were a bit of an early chapter, but what I used to like about rugby league weren't just as it was, and they used to get big crowds because it hadn't gone live on telly then, and not same as football. And also we got going to Burnley a bit through Dad again and Milkman, and I used to get plenty of enjoyment. Even if match were a lousy match with some wagsy crowd, and both football and rugby league. And I went down to watch Skipton and all the rugby union. They used to get a decent crowd then, but it, for atmosphere, it was rugby league and football as it was then. So that were
just going back to your mum and dad for a minute. We'll come to some of the later things later, Roger. I'll let you have a drink as well. Were your mum and dad local then? Were they both local? Are you a local family?
Dad were a Skipton lad, born and bred. All family were. I'm like newsman off telly when he's got a crusty voice sometimes.
So we were talking then about your mum and dad. You know, where were they born and bred, and what about your grandparents? Do you remember where they were all from?
All my dad's family, like down round the Vistie, were Skipton born and bred. In fact, my granddad, a lot went to textile mills, grew up obviously. My dad had the youngest of a big family, and his brothers and sisters, they nearly all worked at mill. It was unusual for him there, and to be somewhat different, to be a plumber. And the granddad, he would say he worked at textile mill, but again from my biggest family. But he had one brother, just to prove it ain't that far back in generations. And my granddad's brother were killed on his first day at work at 8 years old. When he was good part time at mill and part time to school, that would have been Sidgwick's mill, just have been going up into Skipton Woods, up past old Wesleyan Chapel there, up Chapel Hill. And I say he were killed on his first day at work at 8 years old. That building's still there, but it's a house now, and part of the mill at the other side, opposite, it were like in two parts, that's demolished, but you can see contours where it was. That was first ever textile mill in Skipton, so many, many years later they got round to naming a little housing complex after Sidgwick that he would found at the mill, if you like. And it was just at the time when they were building that and others in district, caused a plug drawing riots whereby a marauding mob came up from East Lancashire, mostly Burnley area, ravaged, pillaged and looted all the way up and threatened landlords and if they didn't give them the best at pumps and stuff, and they pulled plug out at boilers because we're taking work out at Andlow Weavers' cottages. So, that were very much a mill family, but not just in Skipton. That obviously they grew up in Skipton. Some younger brothers and sisters particularly, had to walk over Old Roman Packhorse Road, where I've just mentioned, to Addingham, to textile mill there to work. We work about a 12-hour day in clogs, meet at workhouse at Skipton, walk over there, work 10 or 12 hours in there, and then walk in clogs all the way back, and then to go again the day after. Tough life.
And where was your mum from? Your dad was from Skipton?
Dad and mum were from Gargrave. They initially had a farm, but where she was born, and next to Gargrave Church actually, and St Andrew's Church, but again times were tough, and Grandad had lost his first, he had two sons, but then he lost his wife in childbirth with second son, so he'd come out at farming because it was a tough time trying to run a farm and bring kids up because there weren't these carers and all that like there is now. So my mother worked, and he got remarried. My mother worked from second marriage, my mother and her sister. And so granddad then therefore to get more static hours because you know, farming you could be out lambing and all that and you can't be bringing your kids baby up at the same time and all that sort of thing. He got a job that's gone by the by now, Carter as he went on, that bring, going down to Skipton for all food provisions and bringing up to Gargrave and other villages and having the top way up. So that's what his job was, his profession for long enough, because on registration, birth registrations in Gargrave Church it says what did you what your parents did, and he was down as a carter, which nobody knew what one of them were now. Finished up being a district nurse, and that's what brought her to Skipton, basically, or to Gargrave. And she landed at a time when my mother was only very young, and my mother also would do it for community, and she used to go around with him sleeping over with my what were my grandmother and mother, people that were very seriously ill, and I know one family they got pally with later on because he died of a brain tumour, but they're in terrible pain and all that, so she used to go and help out then. And the First World War wounded were coming home, and obviously some appalling injuries there, so my mother be holding all sterile stuff while grandmother as the district nurse were tending to them. So she was born in Gargrave, brought up in Gargrave, and even though she partook in sport. I'm sorry I'm losing a bit of voice, but it's just nature. So not with me, but anybody else sometimes. And but basically, all her sporting passion were centred around village, Otick village, she were passionate about, basically. She played with village hockey team, which were more prominent then than football, because that's how it were. I think it's a throwback from old British Empire days, is that. Football basically only swept up Air Valley when Bradford City won Cup just before the First World War. But up to then, hockey were more prevalent in sport, and of course, it went on in villages afterwards and all. And obviously, they had a women's cricket team then, and she played in that and was scored for men's cricket team. And Grandad, of course, he played, he was captain actually, a guy, right? And everything sporting wise were centred on football. They didn't get football team cracking at Gargrave, and as in them days, you don't have to, I better not do any advertising. You won't name a brand X sports firms that they make players' stockings. So the night scene with my mother, two or three of her friends in Gargrave were knitting new football stockings and all that sort of thing, or making shorts and all that sort of thing. As I said, she wouldn't know. Only they had a rugby team and all in Gargrave, but she wouldn't know the difference between rugby league and rugby union. And I don't think she knew her either afterwards, and I think my father educated her on a bit, but it was basically how she got any interest at all with what happened in village at Gargrave. So that was their upbringing, basically. Dad went to secondary modern school, of course, which were right next to where all textile mill houses were built, so he only had about 50 yards to walk to school. And my mother went to village school, and then she went to girls' high school.
Which schools did you go to then? What do you remember about them?
I went to my primary school, as it was then, it's right next to the police station building. I don't know what's happening to it now, but it'd been there for generations. And just down at the bottom of Shortmount Road where I grew up, it was about, not short of a mile, three quarters of a mile walk down. We all walked down middle of the road in them days because there were few and far between in cars or any sort of traffic. And I'm playing ticket football down, way down or whatever, way back. And then I went to Hermistead, at that little grammar school other side of town. But when my mother went to girls' high school, it was sort of a bigger thing, but it was still a bit of a swank thing going to Hermistead when I did. That was far side of town. So
what were your memories like of school? How did you find it?
You're on about Yorkshire accent. First day I come, when everybody were all, except for me, because I have to tell you this, my brother, 2 year older, went before me, and he left without the colours flying, to put it mildly, although he did finish up being headmaster, same as bloke had, same as guy that had expelled him, so he didn't do bad that way. But, a few chapters on that, how his behaviour weren't exactly pristine, perfect, I don't think, besides all else. And so everybody were in gleaming new uniforms and stuff, and I had to make do with all this second-hand stuff with sort of ripped pocket and bit of snot on sleeve and all that sort of thing, and dinner spilled there on, of course. So, and I was at it class first day. I can remember the very first day, because there were one or two right posh ones, there were a boarding house then, and one or two were of Boris Johnson-esque upbringing. And then that teacher come round, Mr. Sivright, he were our form master, asking all our names and second name. And when I said Ingham, he said, "You've got a brother at this school, had you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Don't say yeah, you say yes." So, you tell what we were brought up at primary school like. Because one or two in our class at primary school from humble backgrounds. In fact, one lad I got very pally with, Kenny Lee. I hope Kenny's listening in somewhere, because I don't know if he's still alive or not. They moved to Sheffield. But I once in the house, there's no carpet or out like that. And when it rained heavy, we were just at the bottom of short bank. Water poured in through the front door and straight out at the back. And then I went in the house one day, and they had a bit of a couch with iron legs on it. And I went in the house one outside toilet, as they all had down there, like ambience. Somewhere had a toilet about 3 streets away, that's how it was. But, the one lot in 3 streets away, basically. And once in there, when a rat just run across, come out at back of the house and run straight across the front room while I were in there. A lot from humble backgrounds, but one or two from bigger families also had a bit of character. There's one I still smile about when his name comes up now. In fact, I did the eulogy at his funeral. I mentioned Norman Beck, my life on Palfrick Fell Racing. It was his family. They were Alan Beck. On the other, as you always know, it was Alan spelt back to front.
Were they happy memories at school then? Did you have good times?
My happiest memories were at primary school football team, without any shadow of doubt. They just got it going after nice to get his name in lights again. Jack Cross, he was from Earby. He'd been a good sportsman himself before war, and then done his wartime service, and then played a bit after war, especially in cricket with Jack, but he was a very keen footballer. And there were no primary school for people 2 or 3 years older than me. No, they played at school, every day, but no proper organised 11-a-side football. And so Jack got primary school football team going, and it was not full pitch at 11-a-side, and down at the Sandylands, which were where Skipton rugby, cricket and the football fields are now, far side of town. And we used to tail down then with some great competitive matches with other schools. It was because one or two others were getting going, because he had his contacts at Jack. So it's some great times there, and that was probably my happiest memories.
And what sort of things did he get up to as a youngster away from school? What sort of activities, what bits of fun did he get up to?
For my sins, there were sins and all, I think, on reflection. Because my devout church goers, as my mum was, and so we dragged the church in Sunday school and all this when he wanted to go on it. And Dad, we got landed in church choir at an early age. I had another close pal, Richard. He were already in choir, but he were a very good singer, and top level, if you like. Well, he won at music contests eventually, then everywhere. And he went to go football team and all. And he through him, possibly, I got in church choir. And I enjoyed it for a while, but I thought, you want to get out, but once, I mean, my mother won't let us come out, whether you could sing or not. But what we enjoyed most were choir practice. If we were on a Friday night, it's only time we were allowed to go down in town at this primary school age, And we had to, like it Olympic, catch 25 past nine bus back up Short Bank, which was the last bus. And so if we let out early, we could run right around town, because all High Street, there were yards all the way down, there were people living in them. So one of the great things were knocking on all the doors all the way up the street, getting everybody out, and then giving them a bit of grief, and then down up one yard, down next, and so on. But I tried this other ploy once, what Richard had mentioned, about pretending you're not with them and walk up about 20, 30 yards behind or 50 yards behind. And we've been up Albert Street, which is nearly hardly any houses in it now, I don't think it has any, and once already, and their toilets are also were down at the bottom of the street, so we shared, two or three families shared one previous, you might say. And I still remember, I'll tell you the names, I'm sure they'll be smiling from up in it, and they were a devout church goers, they were Catholics actually, they were McClincy sisters, they were three sisters, all worked in Tex Army, who had a right humble life. And now I was coming up, I tried it on my own, coming up detached from all the rest, and they'd run through, and anyhow, next news, they were, when I was coming past, there one sister at one side of the alleyway, other at the other side, and got two buckets of you know what all over me, top as we call it, the Jury's it were named after, Jury's it Warline, all over me. So that was my cue for not going on that ploy again. That's probably the memory of all memories. And small world as it was, and everybody in Skipton seemed to know everybody else in them, but it's very close in the community. But all these years later, that were in 1950s, well, it had been coming into about 1980s when they reorganised rent rounds. That's 1970s it was, late 70s, that 25 years later, they demolished Albert Street and their houses, and so they moved them into some old folks' bungalows on Horse Course Housing Estate, you know, out on the edge of town basically. And I'm getting to know one or two of these old people, because they were doing all villages around before. And I saw this name up in the book first time. I said, McClincy. I said, and there were two, one of the sisters had passed away by that time, sometime, but other two, Maggie and Sabina, were still there. And I says, did you used to live down Albert Street? And she said, ah, some great times down there. It was a lovely place, blah, blah, blah. And then I says, oh, well, I remember coming up when you were down there, because I got to know the name pretty quick after that incident. I said, we were at church choir and we used to run down all them yards, knocking on all the doors when, you know, before we go down for the bus at 25 past nine. It's the only time we ever caught bus, we walked every, because he wanted his own, otherwise he'd be now told me. And she said, one of them two said, I remember that the one night, she says, it was Red Gingham's lad picked up a Short Bank, because, you know, they seemed to know, they seemed to know everybody else. And he says, she said, it didn't make our night. He said, it made our year, did that. And I says, do you know Red Gingham's lad was? I said, it was me. She said, oh, I am sorry, love. I said, no, it's right, you learn as you go on, don't you? I had to face music when I got home and all, so.
How do you think times have changed? You've been in this area all the time. What's the community changed from, you know, from those days?
I think one thing, as I just mentioned, I think everybody seemed to know, not everybody, it's probably an overstatement, is that, but I think miles more people knew each other then, and everybody down, if you pick, I mean, local papers gone down, I've claimed a little, because it's all spots on at cinema and all this now, not local news. There is some, but not like as much. But if you saw now a name up for whatever, whether done good it world or bad it world, you would think, cracking your brains, who they were. And certainly anybody who were up at court, I think I knew a lot. And in old days, as names come up now, whether it's me getting old, I don't quite know, but that community spirit and all, I found that. Not in so much in events, but even in events like Skip and Gala, but just helping neighbours, you know, one or two brilliant neighbours, somebody were terminally ill, got some old hospices and all that to go in, you know, day by day, or shopping for them or whatever, cleaning the house out, we vacuum every day, do it gardening, just somebody getting on age-wise herself, but or kids, you know, young kids are around doing it, that sort of thing, for free, you know what I mean? No, that were a brilliant one. Well, I used to do a lot of that, especially with shopping in my growing up years, if you like, for as good deeds for neighbours. Probably more than anybody else who would think, trailing up and down, being tipped down for the top of Short Bank. It were a mile down to town centre, like. And dropping stuff up on the way around. So there were that more help all the way around. But when I became rent collector for council, and I did a lot of old folk, all the villages all around, I became much more aware of all that and all. Some wonderful guys, like men and women, that did some wonderful things on that. It was almost alive. My mother was that way around, basically, because there were a council house estate just below it. It sort of joined on and it went in a circular layout. And the young lass, how she got Ballywick families, she lost her eyesight when she was about only 5 or 6 or something like that. She had cataracts, and my mother was around fending for family and all that sort of thing, you know, because of that. Because mother were up and down to, she was down in Leeds initially, that's where she had operated for loads of eyesight, and then obviously got in Charlie Wood Blind Centre down in London. In fact, the dad worked up real with him, got sort of compassionate the transfer or whatever, but I know how my mother got really badly with going around and doing a bit, well, you know, when poor lass was still at home then, you know, when she was still on home to the Dupia.
Do you remember sort of taking part in any local traditions? Were there big events in around Skipton that you remember regularly taking part in?
I've been involved with Skipton Gael for 60 odd years. I've been chairman. In fact, when I was chairman, we got the biggest and best gaoler ever, because I was going around with the gaolers pulling, oh, you saw in good entertainment, you know, Jeremy, pop groups, Caribbean, all steel band, pipe band. And I used to put features in the local paper. You know, if you only play bagpipe, second fiddle or whatever, get in, you know, it's all part of entertainment. I did deal with that in 1986, and I said, why not just concentrate on what's taking part, never mind them that didn't take part. Oh, just about every blend of music, I think, even some at floats. I once added up, there were about four, oh, I've got a video or something, 14 either bands or floats of music on, etc. Brilliant entertainment, but I've helped Gale along before that. I've helped them in some form every year since 1954, I think it was, or 54, year after the coronation. I used to have tail around it, pouring rain, selling pre-Gale programmes, and tickets cheaper than what they were on day, sort of thing. It's gone down to not much now, and I don't know much now. I'm not on committee, just help them a little bit. I took two bikers around this town. There's two lads landing on our housing estate. They were twins, they're brilliant. The one plays bagpipes, the other plays drums. So we set up about 11 o'clock in the morning, processioning till 2 or something like that, and collected a lot of money and entertained things, helped to build it up before the off, if you like. Where people sat outside pubs, and we didn't play inside any pubs, but I got all pretty gaily on. And the same two lads when Clapton the Carers were on just before that, you know, the year before, I went, we did a lot around out in the estate where we lived, where I moved the house. I'm still what is now former council house, it's just below where I were born and grew up. So I had them around each week, and I had loud ale with me, winding everybody up to get out on your doorstep for 8 o'clock, and they would come round playing pipes at the back of me. We did well in that one, you know, some films, somebody's seen film footage that, well, far and wide, because our fishman's from Fleetwood and he'd seen it. So it just helped to get the party atmosphere going a bit.
Did you have any sort of family traditions and celebrations that were unusual to your family that you remember enjoying taking part?
No, not really. We obviously got a few together for birthdays and etc. But no eating a suckling pig or out. One or two do here and there, bits of things like that, but we had nothing like that.
Was Christmas a big time for you?
It always has been. I mean, as a teenager with rock and roll dances and all that, in town, they used to have a good one, but that obviously out of town and all, we used to get down to Imperial Ballroom at Nelson, where the top groups, Stones, Beatles, Ike and Tina Turner, Otis, you know, for price of two drinks, but basically when we were growing up, we were in town and here often, at town hall with rock and roll dance and all that. Then, in more recent years, for quite a lot of years now, run up to Christmas, I've gone around, we all Christmassy gear on, around pubs in district, we're collecting bookies. I've done a lot for various charities. I've done £84,000 just for all in shrapnel, all these things you can get on Facebook and all that. All in just booking in shrapnel and for Children's Cancer Leukemia Unit. Most of that were at Christmas and other charity events and all. I do a bit of that, it's summer, but Christmas, the Builders Friday particularly, and I've got all my offloading places where I'm never carrying too much all at once. I have to go around and gather a bit in 2 or 3 days later, sort of thing, at various pubs. Can you leave your bucket here and swap over and all that sort of thing? I go around with a bit of bounty. You don't just say, no disrespect, without Salvation Army used to come around every Saturday night. I had to sing your name, aren't we now? And it's really nice meeting up with Kiki D, pop star at one venue. And we finished up talking more about football than what we did about pop music. I met a few of it. There's one beauty of it above all else, though. How many have probably moved out of town, have taken droves of youth in sport and got them into sport and coaching, especially in athletics, how many land back in Skipton just to roots, family roots for Christmas, and someone looks down and somebody used to take when they were about 12 or 13 and look down on you from a great height, and you used to take me for football, can't you? But it's great to meet up any amount of them, even one or two to come from Australia and these sort of places. And also one or two numerous rent collectors, because they were here for 28 years. I were a popular rent collector, one or two would be tourists, because all four particularly were a breath of fresh air when that was only, if they're semi-house bound, and but only other person they saw, we were home help or somebody bringing some bit of food in or something like that. So I just did that 2 or 3 minute natter with him, just, you know, it was somewhat special.
You mentioned rent collecting then. So talk us through your working life. What have you done as a job for your life? Is it rent collecting all the time, or have you done other things?
No, well, the first job, paid job, I worked for a market garden firm when I was still at school then, working at school holidays, and at morning paper round there, I don't know, while I was still at school. Well, I worked at Milk Round before that, and that's how we got Pollywick Milk Round, and my brother before me, because I mentioned rugby league, but football, and when my dad, he was all keen, but it was Milk, we had to Morton, and Milk Round were mad keen on football, and so he used to pile about 8 or 9 of us in back of a little 600 weight van, and still some milk crates in, and we used to sit on eggs, because we used to get eggs, he used to get eggs off, us including, we had ends, and to pile us all in, you get done now with police for so many in and 3 front, but usually night matches what we went down here. So that was probably, we went around with probably first, and then morning paper round, I took over, which was a bit better than Milk Round really, because you could just fly around, etc. And you were carrying a ton weight. Well, they used to bag weight, there'd be everybody got a newspaper in them days. Not like now, it's everything's on social media, isn't it? And bag with that every when I came out at paper shop, I used to do one little close or whatever niche paper shop to start with. So I used to just take papers out I needed, or take 2 bags and put papers I needed for that slot in another bag, so everything was lighter. Then it got lighter and lighter as you went round. and tended to run a bit and all that, swearing, only running, I think. So I know when I went to school cross country when I was 16, I'd done about 3 or 4 miles when we got to starting line, I think, because I'd run down nearly a mile down to a paper shop, then went round out and I once measured it. I think it was 5 miles overall. This is long after, I think, before we got to the start, and up and down garden paths and all that round the nearby house in the estate, and then up back up to the house for my breakfast, and then all the way across the East End, which were about a mile and a half, and then up to the start, where up on the golf course, and I think we'd done about over 5 miles before we got to the starting line. And so that morning paper, and then on where you pay national insurance or whatever, or tax or whatever on the jobs, my first one was a market garden firm, just up, it ain't there now, just at back at Castle. The castle, not the castle pub, the castle, the actual castle, the other side of the canal. In fact, that's the same area as where Cromwell used to fire all his artillery onto the castle all those years ago. Harry Wilkinson and the other Stalling to Skipton Market then, flowers, and he had a few jobs out of town and all out of nursery, where you're doing gardens and everything. In fact, we once went right down to one in mining area down in South Yorkshire, and we called Bolton on Dern. Every life has a twist, every job has a twist. They had a different life altogether, won't we?
What about your rent collecting then? When did you start that?
After that, I got a job. Next school holiday on a building, old building firms, T.T. Chapman, old builders' yards, were down by the canal, because everything can be barged at all this, they all had a crane. So I worked there for a couple of years, just over a couple of years, but then I'd have stopped on and learnt trade a bit more, but it was back in the last century, Arthur. It was one of the oldest firms in town, actually, Arthur Chapman, and he was outside work somewhere on top of Mount Everest, if you like, at winter time, then you know, the blazing heat wave inside working summer, and another load blinding boilers at Jewish Mill and all that sort of thing. So I thought I'll have a change where I get a job where I can be. If I'm working out all day, I'll be winter, summer, and then if I'm working in, you know, consistent, if you like. So I've got a job with Corporation at Keithley for a year. Then this job just come up. I want that type of job. I wanted a walking about job and moving around job, not sitting one place all the time. So I got a job at rent collector, old Skipton Rural as it was then, before 1974 reorganisation. And then they combined with Skipton Urban in 1974. We lost one or two parishes down Keithley Bradford area, like Staten and Eastburn, but we gained some up North Ribblesdale end, and so, we lost some in East Lancashire and all, and so anyhow, I continued basically on a lot of the same patches, same villages, etc., and right up to Mrs. Thatcher, Margaret, Auntie Margaret, I mean, a brainchild about. But it'd be great if everybody could own their home now. I'm sorry, we need some upselling to give them away. I mean, just a shame we haven't got a council house at town. The prices were selling them for tenfold about not long after, very soon after. And and of course, they're giving 110% mortgages. So thought we're getting a holiday in Acapulco or somewhere, but had been struggling to pay rent. So next news, it was repossession society, but meantime, with poll tax coming in, we've got this new hierarchy of council, who I haven't a good word for any of them. We finished up nearly with more bailiffs than what we had rent collectors. In fact, first pensioner anywhere in country, first pensioner anywhere in country to be sent to prison for not paying the poll tax within our area.
You probably came across some hardship cases, didn't you, when you were doing your rent collection?
No, well, I've managed to get around them all one way. Well, one or two were a bit hard at first, but when they finish up, how technology used in sport. Now, one or two were a bit happy with it, then found out I weren't a bad old pig after all, when they finished up taking their son or daughter for, and getting them on forward in life generally. It weren't just a case of getting on to represent England, the Great Britain, like quite a few were of tech now, but just better lifestyle, better person, better lifestyle altogether. Now, in fact, there wouldn't have been to family wedding of one or two of them who you know, to believe you invited for a collective, but that's how it turned up full circle.
So you mentioned there about your running, you know it's a big part of your life. Tell us about that and any other sort of hobbies that you did.
Well, just sort of going back on that and also a few other unfortunate happenings came up around, and I'm trying to rescue, that's why I've got that, I think, thin and that wedge of scalp problem I have now. I tried to rescue an old lady that died in upstairs flat fire. I managed to get fired out before fire brigade came, but and I think it was on reflection, chance, a cat in hell's chance, but you go for it at the time. But Plaudits sort of got off old folk on that estate, but they did brilliant because some were very infirm and elderly, but they all come across with washing up bone, and one fellow filled it booking up. This bastard, I was trying to climb up fall pipe, and I could feel it run a break, but I dropped down and injured me back. I've never been right with that scene, and but I noticed a ladder on outhouse roof, and so I dashed across, got that, then could get up to the thing where it were happening, and managed to get fire out with window breaking at before fire brigade come. But on reflection, you had to cat in Alice Johnson. And then about only a few months later, they used to have the doctor's sub office down in Cross Hills at Main Street. And I was going down to pay some money in a bank, which I used to do, end up saying, coming back, there was a pushchair. It was Nine Force Gales, and somebody had gone by St. Peter's Church on bended pavement, the pushchair coming up, a fair old rate of knots, flying down the pavement. What it had happened, apparently I found out later, the lady was shopping in a shop, young mother, and the old people was waiting for a bus across the road, could see what happened. It lifted canopy, it had canopy up, lifted pushchair up and not break off thing, so it flew off. And capping what you can do when somebody's life's not ending. Same with the lady, I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't even have thought of doing up like that. But I'm just going to stop it, and it gusted into the road, and I managed to dive full length into the road and injured, and that's why I'm seeing osteopath every 2 or 3 weeks or a month for the neck injury. And dive full length and pulled it from under the wagon, but that little smiling face, it pushed you. Everybody's sick after that. Woman got a bottle of whiskey out at finish up. I was nearly a nervous wreck after that. But turned out all them years later, I'd call Marx. He's turned out to be a brilliant lad, you know, in the big wide world, so it's nice and pleasing, is that? But all these little episodes here and there, but.
Tell us about your running then.
Me running? Well, I've not got a basis started on a chosen sports, a junior fell races to start with. And I didn't do too well in them at all, but I got down to winning a few here and there. I've never won some of the biggest ones, but I've been up there knocking at the door. One of the biggest ones were in my growing up years, it had history for about 100 and odd years, were Grassmere Sports, a bit late this year. There was about 12,000 spectators then, and I said, fell racing dating way back to 18, top of year 52, I think it was. And I've been in top 8 of town too, but because there were 8 prizes, it was just a nice benchmark with that, and did a pretty good time and all. But track events and all, I did well. We used to have handicap track events, which I still do here and there. I've won various races all over north of England and Scotland, including at Braemar, where our Queen and our Royal Family go. But probably one memorable thing there is in 1984, because I was training some of the young ones, including Mick Orr, now been through his own working life, and he did well in his athletics, particularly he ran the Commonwealth Games final in New Zealand, and Mick, I think it was the first time he came up, and it worked best the conditions that day. It was really swirling mist and rainy mist, and I won't veterans award that day because I was 40 by then, and Mick won't race, but he was not putting far in front of me at top, but he must have absolutely sprouted wings up way down, and I think we were about fifth or sixth at race then. There were about 50 running it or something like that, probably not that many, 40 odd, but I was actually staggered when I found out he'd won race, but not only had he done that, he broke the record and it still stands to this day. So that was it on that one, like, and I say I got veterans award just to make it double head of that team, but his record still stands, like, so unless they broke it this year, it will last Saturday with Braemar games. I don't know where Queen landed this time, she's up at Barrymore, well, of course. But all the colour, character and content of some of them were absolutely, you know, a lot of their own special delights, if you like. Egremont Crab Fair at Lakeland, they used to have that face, you've probably seen it up there, that face gurning contest in among it. That's a tradition that went back generations. We pull the ugliest face out of our scholar. I went in that one year, but I couldn't win in another one at the Western Main. Just going back on my short bank here, though, he was a great character, but he got military medal at First World War, and but he must have lifted morale at troops tenfold, which I'd heard of. I used to work with First World War veterans, so I learned plenty about what went on there, and tough, mightily tough times. And a guy called Tommy Pang worked in slaughterhouse down at, as I knew him, and he was also a chimney sweep. And the face as black as ace of spades, and he did a grandson, a great good mate of mine, still at primary school. They used to take him round when he was doing his chimney sweeping, and because they had all the chimney sweeps then, because they're nearly all coal fires, he used to shove Alan up the chimney like old Dickensian do, trailing him back up road. I've seen him in the house, get this end up, I can get up a bit further. But he didn't so much call a spade as something that words a lot stronger that way, Tommy. I mentioned choir practice and get it 25 past nine bus. We were both still at primary school, me and Alan, and my brother could be a bit pertinent with things, and David they call him, and just a full bus set up, one or two working men's club or police pub just up road from the bus station nearly next to it, including Tommy, and because it was the last bus, you know, they wouldn't walk up like that, nobody had taxis then, and anyhow, the bus were full, and it was all thing for kids to stand up if they didn't come on. And now we were sat down, and I'll have the nearest alleyway up with them. And Tommy come past, and he says, "When you lad, you young ones stand up, let a grown up sit down." And I'll say, "Why should we? We were here first." And now next day was Tommy braining him like, and it finished up with I'll have under Satan, he's still terribly to brain. So anyhow, when Tommy finished up, sat on the seat, I got squashed up against Windsor, and he obviously stunk and all that. But we, in all due respect, he lost a lot of his self-dignity at First World War, I think. And he got military medal. He landed behind enemy lines and all that, being much of a tremendous achievement. He got behind enemy lines and finished after hostilities had cooled down. And he was trying to find his way back to dugout at his end, and he come across a lot of German prisoners just off guard having a fag, you know, battling, just aged down and gone down. And so Tommy Hartwick come, first landed in with 38 German prisoners, single-handed. And by chance, when I worked with Chapman's Builders, I work in the house, and they were in the same unit as Tommy, their surname. They used to have a chain of bread grocery shops around town at that time. And he said, when this incident happened, he said he didn't just lift morale of everybody. A lot said, just sheer sight of Tommy being there, with or without, going to be enough for him to surrender. Because he had the gainliest of faces at all. In fact, so much so that all these years later, when we were going to Egremont to compete, we tried to get Tommy to come with us. I said, "He win gurning contest if he come," and he clatters at me. Bloody mad. passing them. There's a lot of big prize at the end of it, you know.
And you've done lots of other things as well, haven't you? You're involved in local shows and things like that. Yeah. Tell about these other things you get up to.
Well, local shows like Kilns, yeah. I finished up, I hitchhiked near myself in 1957 when I were 13. And then, I say, soon after that, Billy Pitt, who I mentioned, who would train, and he picked us up when I was going to an event. And Norman, for him farming, he'd won in, hadn't been left school long, and he could leave at 15 then. And he, Billy also had anybody train for running, helping to mark out at Kilnsy Show, because he was a chief, he was putting stakes up, or set it show field up generally, marking out on Crown and what do you call it, track would run with old football in, old football field line marker. And it was a lot longer at summer, we're 1959, and we marked it 100 yards straight up, and we did it in lanes then. And Norman said, oh, the thing the way up this bit, it's straight bit, we run out of what it means, you're biting like mad, and we're going down with another mix to do with old line marker. So we're feeding it to finish the job. And that was my early recollection of helping out at Kilnsy, showing you various aspects I've helped them ever seen every year. I've been commentator about the last 40, but all that come about, when I first went, it were eight colourful commentator, got old Doors Youngs as it were, then Clegg from Ilkley. He were a bit of a character, and but he were passionate about all shows and sports, he'd been doing it since before the war. Anyhow, he died in 1964, and so Guy took his equipment over at work for Clegg's while he were. So I were competing keenly then, both in track events and crag race, and I used to go on to committee, I said, well, you know, if somebody can just say a few words, who's it lead or something like that, and they kept saying, why don't you do it? Anyhow, 1981 it was, and just crossed finishing line at mile out of breath when Jim chairman, as it was then, he was chairman and always Jim, and he shoved microphone into my hand and said, can you do it for the rest of the show? So I finished up doing crag race and whatever else, didn't get a chance to run whether I wanted it to do it or not. And I finished up getting landed with Joe Emerson. So wherever else I compete, which I did do for many a long year after, I couldn't compete at Kilnsy because I was doing that. And because I used to get local footballers and rugby players at Kendington or whatever go on. So when Kenby came home, a lad who started running with me, pal from Evermore, Paul Stamford, he helped us with, and because he's had a lot of success running wise, and Paul were there this year again helping with his wife, so we took over. Because I used to do a programme and job lot with all sports, all entries in, one or two late entries, but we'd take a wood under my recommendation. But the bad international athletes besides all else from a late entry, I thought, crikey, and an international football rugby player and all, but that's how we got to. I've been striving like mad to get him in, and they're going twice as hard to get him out. Significantly, I want the passion was for Kilnsy Show, I don't think either of them go now. So in fact, many a time at Kilnsy and Skipton-Gaeler, best help we've had, especially Skipton-Gaeler, that we're not committee. And just so you know, can you use hand with this, put it fencing up and all that around Gaeler Field. Some wonderful helpers. I'm remembering all them in my autobiography, if you like, because they're not forgotten, are they, them sort of guys. Some wonderful helpers we had, but some at committee were just, they literally caused more work than what they did.
One thing I haven't talked about actually is, are you a married man? Have you got children?
No, I'm married for 24 weeks, short at like Grand National. You can get a long way around and then come a cropper at the last fence. I won't work that short at till my wedding. And three kids, but all the kids are all grown up now. That thing ended up wedge, basically, at the marriage job, I think. There were other things and all that, but... So, I've been out on my own since, but managed brought a youngest lad up and arrangement were 50-50, big two were up and four at university and beyond, but youngest lad was still only very young at primary school, very young. But I never faulted him, but we all liked him. He'd been brilliant. I think he's been having to rough it a bit with me because he'd come on various jobs and all sorts of things, school, all these. He almost seemed to be a weird son with you. And he finished up working in mid-million countries worldwide, well over 30. I can't remember precise numbers. He'd been in North Korea, but he's seen life and he's in a pop group. And he's a landscape gardener for his job, and he's in a pop group, and Joe, they call him, and they've played in various countries in Europe besides all that. They've had a tough time since Brexit because of how much it was now costing to get the equipment over. But he's been a great lad. I'm not wrong with other two, don't get me wrong, like, but in fact, my daughter's in, just been up home this morning, Victoria and Matthew were other two. But he's had a tough time growing up, but I think it's been character building for him for what he's achieved. And Victoria, I see a lot of them because kids there, well, Seth's 18 now and Peter's 15, but they've been very much into sport, which has been great for me as that. And I have pushed them, you know, done it their way, husband's way. I don't see quite as much as Matthew now, and they've got a Down syndrome child besides ours, but obviously keep in touch, he's down Air Valley now. And I used to take him a lot for support. He did well with his football, particularly. In fact, he got got selected, never mind how else, for Burnley Youth Team. But he had an injury, so he couldn't play. But with a lot of success, in fact, they became not through me, I've got all players to vote for who they're thinking for captain for next season, and they finished up being captain, play for area representative teams. But he's had a fair old innings with me, and he used to like to get to matches here and there. He's a school teacher now, he's done well what he's done. But Victoria works for various publication magazines. She's been featured in all sorts. In fact, this Oz exhibition place, she had a feature on history of fellow racing in there, in Dales. She's a lot of them. She helped us obviously at Kilnsy Show, she was there, calling a few runners out. There's a lot of new runners on when doing comedy, drag races when they're coming in. So I'll probably be up seeing her at weekend next. Often down at house. I'm bus stop planning for high tech. I never got into computer job right. That is my great failing in life. Or one of them.
Any questions? I'm going to mention these. Any questions? Have you anything else?
Did you get involved with any of the commentaries on the sheep or the cattle or anything at the shows, or was it just the sport?
No, they must have liked me style, I did it for 20 years with Great Yorkshire Show with Shakespeare, and some great times there, and including Prince Charles coming over here in my dulcet tones and coming over to have a natter. But we just finished a section then, before a display, if you like, before they had a lunch break, because it was when some championships, I think last eight, call it what you like, were on stage, or six stands on championship stand, championship stage, shall I say, and we just finished when Prince Charles come over, and because he'd heard my dulcet tones, because it was a big, wide-spreading microphone, he was touring it Showfield, if you like, so they're nice enough to win there, because he'd heard me before, and, well, I've become a great pal at Moorcock Show in Garsdale, and I'll just do it fellow races in, and besides introducing him to the crowd and all that, and then he came to Skipton when he was still the man of the moment, I think, must have been still with Diane. Yes, he was. And he spotted me at Cloud here and introduced me to one or two others. He thought I worked for local radio on the road. I said, I worked for council. And I said, I'm going to have a job for you, when you after you've been gone. Anyway, it snowballed from just Jim Kemp microphone in my mouth in my hand at Kilmsey Show, 1981 I did three peak cycle courses for 20 years, more than 20 years, but I'd have gone on with that, but I was desperate for a knee replacement, and so I said, because there's a bit more responsibility there, because you're taking 600 riders up road and the motorbikes coming down and all that, and these 600 riders, one or two jostling to get up front and all that sort of thing. I know I've got loudspeaker on top of my van and, you know, moving and all that, but there's responsibility in a lot of areas in the event, besides them going up and down three mountains, you know, when they're belting back down the road towards finish at Elwith Bridge at fantastic speeds. And so I said, if you can get somebody else, get them, because if I get a short word backward for hospital, I'm going, you know, so I don't know what you're down at week before the road. So they managed to get somebody else to finish up, so you can't, when I'm my knees are going, I can't get back and say, oh, I'm all right now, can you shove others out, you know, they've gone in. So, but I did that one, and I said, Sheep Shearing Championships at Great Yorkshire Show. But I did ask them there, because it were three monstrous long days going through at 6 o'clock at stupid o'clock in the morning and getting back late at night. If I preferred last day, which were just exhibitions on last day, and yeah, you get school parties and all that, so that went down a treat. But then they changed that class just before lockdown, and the changed class just before lockdown and put another championship class in, so lads that were doing other two championships, lads and lass, they've been doing it. So the medals presentation, I was smile again, and I got my letter and all that, and got a nice glass tank and all this sort of thing, candelabra, they call it, I thought I misread the thing, I thought it said President's Boxing Main Arena, and it weren't, it was President's Pavilion, which is not too far away. Anyhow, I'm sat in this President's box, and a mate of mine had come to take some photographs, and I'm drinking his wine that went in there and drinking coffee, and how long is it going to be? And because I was there at the appointed time, some damn it afternoon, and so I asked one at stewards, and they looked at things, and said, oh, you're in the wrong place, you should have gone to the President's Pavilion, and I go, so when I crossed President, just coming out down towards President's box, and he weren't reinsulted at all. So Deputy President, presenting Vice President, as you call him, he presented me with a very good picture out of that.
Well, it's just as good, isn't it,
yeah,
to get something. As long as you get your trophy, it doesn't really matter who gives it to you.
But I was still going to go to Great Yorkshire Show this time just to be part of the crowd, because I won't go anywhere else when you've got a seat of office. That's why I'm hoping to get up to three peaks cycle across again this year. But I went to funeral, same. Obviously lockdown with Great Yorkshire Show for a year, but I went to funeral this time a bit late on one of my. This is trouble when you get to my age. After sporting contemporaries, seem to one every other week. I did 9 funerals in 16 days, but this particular one in that middle of that week when show went on, it was a bit late. And when it took a day out, obviously, I had to do words from pulpit and lot. So I've done a few of them. In fact, them 9 funerals, I did power from pulpit in that 9 days. So you have to get your head around what you're going to say and bits of the life, what you. Weren't too sure about it, might have been, but that's how it's been. Our family came to my house and said, can you do a lad called Alan Elton? Long time pal. In fact, he won one of them cross countries when I was a kid over at Moors from Bromstead, secondary modern school. And he won the youngest age up there. And And he said, can you do words for Alan Fielderly, church at Carlton? I said, well, what's he done? I'm just learning he just passed away. So that was another one, of course, you know, and the kick landed up, and I don't think for paper and all. But I did Tony this lad there, and they would write up at Westman Gazette. I don't know if I know. I've run over 2,000 reports for the sport and the victories and all that sort of thing, but especially promoting young ones that's done well in sport. He can have another half an old 2,000, more than 2,000. So I should nearly be on staff, but I've heard a lot said, I'm betting there's so much staff than I know what he is.
Are they avoiding paying you then, Roger?
No, if you don't promote your sport, nobody goes on. See, all these young ones I've taken that have represented England in adding up 38 different countries worldwide. I've been with some of them around five British Isles nations. Not in Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, and the United Kingdom. Mm. But I've never gone abroad with any of them competing, even though they've excelled, I say worldwide, every continent, I think. And I'm also mindful of proof you're taking back home. You have an athlete that's flying out, might be Olympic Games, but whatever one it had, run it Olympics, but a different sport to what I was taking it for. But once you've won a gold medal and all, you start to be interested. But there's also crew back home that don't make it, and said they might never will do. But you've got to be mindful of them, and if they only go out better people than what they came in, well, that's something. Well, I've kept a few out of prison without going into too deep on that one.
Well, that's worth doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
David?
Well, that idea of being a local hero thing, you know, that well, I've done more for your community for the better. And I tried to turn that because I've won a few awards here and there for various community and sporting things. So I thought, well, I've won enough of these, you know, let somebody else have it. So I declined it. And then last one, nearly in tears, it was programme producer. She said, what lengths have gone to, blah, 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 to been interviewing people about, you know, all this, you know, and various clubs like amateur boxing club at Keighley and so on and so forth, and skipping athletics club as it was then, where they've done all, already got set up with their interviews and all this, so I thought, well, go on then, but I still didn't expect to win it, no. So I went down to Leeds to do a four finalists for Yorkshire and Humberside area, and it finished up being me, so next news, I finished up being invited to Buckingham Palace with some other winners. There weren't many of them, all of British Isles, I met a lad down in, I had to go to Thames Television in London first, so I went down, got a folks, my own sporting contacts, pals, contacts, sportsman school, got a cheap bed and breakfast, and went down to. I usually don't bother with taxis, but I got a taxi down there just to make sure we're on time, down at Thames Television. And when I got there, they wanted to open it in for various programme activities, for various other programmes altogether. And the guy's got a bottom of steps all spruced up, and I said, have you come for these Television awards at sport? And a guy called Larry Mann from amateur boxing from Newcastle, he went down in the Tees area, and he said he had. And I said, well, are you? And we took it to, he said we were going to be chauffeured to Buckingham Palace later on. And I said, well, I don't expect to sit going or out like that, but you know, it's nice to be invited to these things, but you don't do it for that. And so we're up at Thames Television first, and I thought, well, if I won a Buckingham Palace, just in case I do happen to meet Queen, I declined all champagne and all that at the reception up there. But nice to look out at window at the top. Then we went down on bus to Buckingham Palace, and two of the others are coming in at me down, and I sat up backstage with Harry on his back, and I said, and the guy got up bus and he says, there will only be very limited number, we'll meet Her Majesty the Queen, but the others can go in the other room and meet Prince Edward and all these sort of, Duke of Gloucester and all these sort of things, and Duke of Edinburgh. And I said, when they said there were only a limited number, I said, what did I say? You know, it'd be not us anyway. And And the office Dunians were read out to make it go in my mind and knees. I said, well, what do we do next to this guy where it's sort of one that organised? He said, we can go into the other room, meet all these folk I mentioned in Duke of Edinburgh and all that. And there were various members of Parliament, and even who was it with him, Ian Paisley, no less. But went to the other room and did that. And I thought, when he said that, I thought, well, Matt, is that my Lockwick Queen? And he said, well, I said yes. And so I thought, I'll have a wander around, but I'm going to get stuck into some of this Ballashilly now, communion wine. So I'm sat in the other room eventually, and I couldn't make it. And I'm looking at the Royal Art Treasures and all this, and I thought, I can't believe where I am to believe. And there were two supermodels, Nell McAndrew, who were not talked about because she was in some of these big rooms, you know, like North, not Great North Run and all that. Sorry about the crusty voice, but just a minute. a lass called Margarita Taylor, they're both very attractive and very pleasant. And now they both come round and put their arm around me. And they say, are you all right? I said, I can't be taking where I am and what's been happening today. And now eventually, near 3 or 4 hours, and a nice night with Duke of Edinburgh besides all else, and went all the way back to the Catchet train from King's Cross. I went and stopped at a pub. I thought, aye, that's right. They were Coronation Street gang went in, and all they were taught at some of the chaperones. I don't know how they landed in. They were all right, but they paid for the taxi back to King's Cross, and I said, well, don't take me off, I'll stop at a downtown London pub somewhere and sit there, and I'm just sat there trying to decide I couldn't make it up because I don't drink a right lot any time. So I thought, this is almost unreal, but I'm enjoying it. So I got up train at finish up, pretty well gone. And this, it was rush hour time, and a very prim and proper female came on and rolled up in, and she said, oh, you're looking very smart. Well, eventually she had to sit opposite me because it was only two places, I think, on train, and she said, you're looking very smart. Have you been to a wedding? I said, no, I've been at Buckingham Palace. And then I told her just a little bit about it, not much. I said, I met Queen and all. And anyhow, she got up and went, and next year she came back with the biggest bottle of wine I've ever seen in my life. And I think that's something to celebrate, and come with two glasses, we'll have a drink off this. So she got off at one of the early stops, going up the line back by Peterborough and all that, and left me with the rest of the drink. Well, I didn't drink at all, but I was absolutely gone big time, got off today in Skipton. So I still got all my regalia on, and I'd got spruced up. There used to be a shop at the bottom of the town, a good shop, Simpson's, doing that upmarket clothing, if you like. And he'd done me up with fancy waistcoat and all that. And I say, well, these distinguished people I've met throughout the day, and Gordon Brown, future Prime Minister, and so on and so forth, and then that to him on. Landed home, I got a rarity for me to get a taxi. I thought, I'll get a taxi home and get some of this on, and I'll go for a walk out in my jeans or whatever. And I landed home and looked at myself in the mirror to see what I looked like. So I never had a chance to do that all day. And I still had price tags stuck up my waistcoat. So I've been talking to Duke Ernie with price tags still on with. Because I'd take my stuff down in a silk carrier, like, you know, little bags, sort of thing, waistcoat and all that. Anyhow, what you're on about today, about a year and a half later, I finished up nearly being that and all that. You get that much, you'll get it at your house, junk mail coming through.
Oh, yes.
Through letterbox. And this junk mail come this in, I'm putting it in recycling bin. And I nearly threw it in, it went out, and I noticed on envelope House of Commons. So I opened it and I finished by getting an MBA. So I finished for service to sport. And the So I went down to Ballasigian eventually, and anyhow, the old one knows you can't speak till I responded. She said, I recognise that accent. Were you at the television awards about a year ago? And I said, there you are, you say, ain't Queen, you remember? Does that wet your whistle?
A lovely achievement, that is.
Yes, it is.
I've heard a lot of dialects as you've been talking. There's a few questions I just need to ask you that we're encouraged to ask. What does dialects mean to you?
Not an eight lot to me, mate. So it's just where people grow up. Now, they've grown up with, and I think when I've gathered in mid morning, I don't rate no, but as I mentioned, old people up and round here, we've got a variation, and folk I work with, especially Chatties builders, T.T. Chapman, Chatties are known as, First World War veterans and all that, some great characters and etc. But I think I've gathered a bit more in, we're talking to them, or felt I ought to be doing a bit more to talk on the same wavelength.
Do you think there's any particular word that you use that are local to Skipton area?
Often one or two used to say, for example, what I mentioned about my father, Adelby Cape. I tried to straighten up a bit because I'm on a writing reports for paper in Queen's English, you see, or King's English before that, but
what does Adelby Cape mean? Just remind us.
Earn your keep.
Any other phrases or words that you think
Not 5 minutes left yet, or whatever. That was one I can think of. I'll probably think of half a dozen of them, more of that when I get out of here.
Do you think, is there any other information about places you've lived that might be relevant at all to?
I tell you, I grew up till I was 21 up top of Short Bank under Humbles. Well, then we moved down into town, bottom of Chapel Hill, between two pumps. Royal Oak, and as it was then, it's more of a Preston type of thing now, and Little Ship, which is now an estate agent, that just on the side of Canal, so I've seen a bit of town life and all.
Did you think you got different bits of dialect from, even from different areas or not?
Not in Skipton,
no.
Really. Then I moved on, when we got married, took a house on Wellington Street, one of old textile mill roads in Middletown, as that area we know, still is known to older people, and then finish up back on housing estate and doing different houses.
You mentioned they're picking up phrases from your dad. Do you remember picking up phrases from anybody else on your travels? Any characters you might have picked up things they said?
I wanted to change structure a bit. I'm thinking of, again, one or two older folk, maybe lived in a village rather than a town. One guy else used to say, I remember when, it had a name, Puff Cup for Lassies in late 60s. This fella said, a lass at an average, he said, old chap said, you look like a lad, but she says, I isn't a lad, you know, but she didn't say that, that was his terminology, if you like, that one or two do in, but had everything for themselves. Oh, God, that were from higher up into, instead of gold, more edging towards Lakeland is that.
Say that one again, what was that?
Guy instead of go. That's somebody along with a young lad that's doing well at Feldrace, and he can garb it.
And do you remember any phrases from your older relatives, your grandparents or anything, things they used to say that you might not even say now?
Well, my dad's side, grandparents hardly knew him. In fact, my granddad was alive, I think, when I was born, but I never knew him, but my grandmother, she passed away when I was very, very young, so I can't even remember her saying out loud, basically. I think down just into East Lancashire, which is now in Lancashire, but it were original Yorkshire, Barn Aldrich, down that end. Any sort of sweets, there might be humbugs, mint imperials, chocolates. Have you got a toffee on you? They'll call them toffees down there, whatever sort of sweet they want. Because it's only 6 miles, 7 miles, 8 miles out the road is Barwick. And of course, some of these names, as I mentioned Barwick, it's Barn Oldswick, of course. I want to tell Colin's one that stands out in our area, Coeneard. In fact, I always call it Coeneard, just about. It's Colin's, it's Sunday title. And Sylvain's often known as Cobbydale. So you get one or two of, you know, these rather just sweet name of it. Grassington, that one all I've got, Lake Hollowbrook near Guston instead of Grassington. Then were ones just locally, I can just think off the top of my head, villages sort of thing. One of me, from my dad's side of family, had a few cousins, because my dad was youngest of a family, a lot older than me, but I used to call them uncle or aunt growing up, but they, one stepped out of his station quite a lot after he went via Navy and Admiralty and all that, and he obviously married a lass from Essex, his first wife, and they, every time we went to visit them, which wasn't very often, but when we did, or they visited us, we used to get picked up on our language. But, and I said, we ought to see him. If I said a cup of tea, they'd say, oh, coop. And I didn't say that, but yeah, I said, you call it a cap of tea. I said, well, a cap's what I wear on my head. You know, oh, no, it's cap, and then it's cap. I said, what? You give them a bit when you can, don't you? Well,
thank you very much all round. That was great, Roger. Thank you.
Somewhat different for the day.